section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Andrew as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. Aaron, what's the biggest news of the list?
So the biggest news right now is that TNA is having a going out of business sale and everything must go. Right now, TNA is in some financial, some dire straits, as we would say, and WWE is in talks about potentially buying them. There's a lot of other factors that go into it, and we actually may not know this until Friday when the show comes out. But Andy, what are your thoughts on it?
This is a big deal, because I was hoping to get like a couple, like, you know, like apron skirts, maybe a turnbuckle pad, something like that, but apparently they're not worth that much, which is kind of sad. But anyways, this is a huge deal, because if someone else buys the tape library, because realistically TNA itself is not worth much, but the tape library is. If they get the tape library, game changer. WWE can put out best of AJ Styles, Sting, Bobby Roode, Austin Aries. I mean, the list goes on. All the people that were in there, Samoa Joe, you can actually have something special just for those guys. And I think that that's a big game changer. Do I believe it'll happen? I don't know if they'll get full, like, as in they'll get 100% of TNA, but it wouldn't surprise me if they, like, bought, like, Dixie stock, if that makes sense.
I think WWE would only be interested in getting the tapes. I don't think they care about the roster or anything else, because they just keep referring to them as an indie league. So they can't even refer to, I mean, they say Ring of Honor, they say New Japan, but when it comes to anybody that came from TNA, it's, oh, that indie thing. So if they want it, it's just going to be for the tapes. It's not going to be for anything good. There won't be any invasion angle, I don't think, or anything. As much as I would like to see it kind of even do an invasion angle, even for NXT style.
And Roger, what do you think about that?
Hasn't TNA already invaded NXT? I mean, do we really need the rest of the TNA roster that no one cares about, with the exception of maybe EC3, to show up on NXT? Like, you've already got Rude and Aries and Joe and Eric Young, I think, debuted as well. Like, they've got everyone. So, you know, I would be happy to see them get the library, but this isn't like when they bought WCW and this was the end of the Monday Night Wars, or they bought ECW. Like, TNA never lived up to the hype, right? They had a few good years where they were fantastic and we thought maybe they could be a major player. And the last 3 years, unfortunately, they've been a joke. So, you know, they're going to die a slow, painful death, which I think what we called. And, you know, somebody else will have to step up and be the number two.
Would you say they're going to get deleted?
delete. You know, I will say this. I would love to see Brooke and Matt Hardy in the WWE. That character has become hilarious to me, to the point where it's over the top enough that I think you could do some interesting things, like with Bray Wyatt and some of the more absurd characters, even Eric Young in NXT if you wanted.
But is that actually a character that you can bring to, well, Raw or SmackDown at this point, or is that something that we're going to have to wait and see, or does that go to NXT right away?
Well, Matt Hardy's already a WWE brand. He doesn't need to go to NXT. Like, we know Matt Hardy. He was, you know, a TLC legend. He's part of the Hardy Boys. He had V1. He doesn't go to NXT. We're not building him up. We know who he is. He's already been on the main roster. So, you know, you could send him right to SmackDown if you wanted to, or Raw. You know, let him do the banana juice and be the head of the cruiserweights again. That would be hilarious. Let him delete all the cruiserweights.
Interesting. What do you think about the fact that it's possible that Billy Corgan could be the one buying TNA? And do you think it's a smart move on his part?
No, I don't think that it would be. I actually think that now is the time for TNA to end. And, you know, I agree with what has already been said, but I think that TNA should go away. You are going to have some people that probably would come back over to WWE, the Hardys, and maybe even an EC3. But, you know, unfortunately for some people, like, you know, Damian Sandow, who just went there, or Cody Rhodes, they were going there because it was like, hey, this is going to be great. We're going to be able to go to TNA and it'll be kind of a number two. And now they're like, oh, crap, I guess we'll have to go to Ring of Honor now. Maybe. I don't know. So that's a little unfortunate, but I think that, I think you just let the E have it and, you know, move on to a different promotion.
Let's just say hypothetically it's 4:55 and they have to get the money into someone by 5 o'clock on Friday. And they say WWE's like, fine, we'll take it. But do you think that if TNA would say, hey, well, we want to do one more thing, any name that we've given to someone like EC3, they get to keep that name. Do you think that would be the smart thing to do as a thank you to the wrestlers? Or do you think they're going to be like, WWE's going to be like, nope, we want it all?
EC3, I would keep that name just because of what he has done with that character. You know, and you don't even really have to go into a whole lot of detail about it. You know, he's just Ethan Carter III. That's all you got to do. You don't even have to bring up Dixie Carter.
I would make one change to that. I think the gimmick works better if he's the nephew of the person in charge, which means Carter should probably be changed to Kennedy or McMahon or something to the effect of let him be Vince's spoiled, you know, nephew or something like that. Because Dixie Carter doesn't mean anything to a WWE audience. Vince McMahon, like Ethan McMahon III, will always be a name.
Mm-hmm. And that might Kennedy. Not be a... Might not be a bad idea, but I do wonder. I mean, I could see WWE going that route and deciding to change it. Or if anything else, if they wanted to have a little bit of a, you know, continuance, you could theoretically say, oh, actually, I'm not just a Carter, but I'm also a McMahon, you know, and then you could do something like that.
Have him be revealed as the actual son.
Yeah. I mean, you could do a lot of different things, you know, and knowing Vince, it would be his instead of Hornswoggle being, you know, revealed as his son, EC3 would be revealed or something. Who knows?
Knowing Vince, it'd be revealed as Stephanie's son and Vince would be the father.
Hey, didn't they try that once?
Unfortunately,
they did. Yeah.
So this is one thing that we, you know, if for some reason this does break, that it does happen, we'll have to have a special show just for that. So let's actually talk, well, wrestling Raw in this case, the Universal title. We had Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins at the pay-per-view. What did you think about the match, Doug?
I thought the match was really, really good. Unfortunately, I think the ending was more of a, it's been said before, but I think it was kind of a Raw-ish ending. I think if you wanted to make this a pay-per-view kind of ending or do something like that, they should have had Triple H come out or some other kind of shenanigans to put KO over Rollins, since you want to keep Rollins as the face and keep KO as the heel. But having a Y2J come out, it was all right. I mean, we're not talking about this being a super pay-per-view, so it served its purpose.
Now, what did you think, Roger? Do you think that the match itself actually was put together properly? Do you think that Owens was a little sloppy in the ring on this as well? What are your thoughts?
I didn't have any problem with the match itself. I thought Owens and Rollins meshed pretty well. I thought Owens did a good job of trash-talking and kind of making Rollins seem a little bit more sympathetic. My big issue, and similar to what Doug said, was that the ending was raw-ish. Like, Jericho interfering in a main event is something that should happen at the main event of Monday Night Raw. That shouldn't be the conclusion of a pay-per-view. You know, if you were going to have interference, you should have had Jericho banned and let Triple H come back out because, you know, that's a big moment. It explains that Foley doesn't have the authority to ban Triple H. So it would have made more sense for him to come out and cost Seth again. And then, you know, Seth and Triple H can move on to their own program. But the ending, once the ref went down, it was cluttered. It was slop. I just didn't like that whole feel of Jericho being there. It killed what I thought was a very exciting match for me and turned it into just another episode of Raw.
All right. Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. The one thing I thought that was interesting about this match is that they both got tweener like reactions. You know, Rollins got some cheers, you know, a couple of boos, and same thing with Owens. He got obviously more boos than cheers, but it was a good match. But, you know, the pay-per-view itself was just kind of like, eh, you know, I felt, and you know, this was the match that I really wanted to see. This was the match I tuned in for, but it, you know, like they said, you know, it seemed like a Raw. Now, Andy, we had Roman versus Ruru for the U.S. title, and your boy Ruru lost it to Roman. who is your second favorite wrestler, of course, behind Ruru. What did you think of this? And did you think that it was a good idea to take the title off of Ruru?
The reason why they really did this is because they're sick and tired of people booing Roman Reigns. They figured, okay, well, with the U.S. title, they won't boo him. Spoiler alert, they're still going to do it. Even with the title, it doesn't help him out. I did like the one thing I thought was really good is that even though Reigns won it, the next night on Raw, that was the first thing that he defended it right away. Okay, I'll give him that. I actually thought that entire thing was done very well. Other than that, where do you put? Because now that he's done with the Rusev program, who's next is the big thing.
Well, is he done? I think that's the biggest question. Doug, do you think that he is done, or do you think that they're going to have a continuation of this until maybe like Survivor Series?
I think they'll have a continuation of it. I don't know if it'll go all the way to Survivor Series, but it will be continued for a while until they can properly book somebody else or build somebody else up for it. I know we talked off air about some people, maybe if there's a switch over from SmackDown or whatnot, but I think they're just going to gimmick it a little bit until they can find a legitimate contender for or a challenger for Roman Reigns to make him look strong, you know.
And Roger, let me ask you, one of the things that happened after he won the title, Michael Cole said, oh, he adds another title, you know, to his already great championship number of championships that he has or something along those lines. Do you think that was the right? Do you think it's the right move for him to win the title, or do you think that he should chase it some more, or maybe put over Ruru a little bit?
I don't want to say it's the right move, but I don't think it was necessarily the wrong move either. Like, I think you could have either one of them win this feud. I thought he was going to move into a program with Sheamus. I thought Sheamus was going to win the best of seven series. It would have made sense since Reigns and Sheamus have a history. Sheamus is a former U.S. champion. You know, Sheamus beat him for the world title at last Survivor Series. So, you know, and Sheamus and Reigns, they could have had a nice little mid-card feud. My problem with this is that, okay, he beat him clean. You know, they did the ejection spot with Lana. Well, now what? We're going to have a third match? Well, I don't believe Rusev is going to win the title for a third time. I think it's time for Rusev to probably move up. So I don't, with Cesaro and Sheamus now locked in this stupid tag team storyline, I don't really know who Roman has to fight. I mean, what other credible singles heels do you have? Jericho? Is that it? Are we talking about Roman versus Jericho now?
Yeah, I think that might be the next route that they go, you know, because they don't really have anybody else set up once these two are finished. So, yeah, I think that you're right. I think that the next one might be Jericho.
And this is the problem we've said with Reigns before, is that they booked him too strong, that he's going to look overly dominant in a U.S. title type defense because, you know, at 31, he took 3 F5s from Brock Lesnar. At, what was it, Payback? He took two Styles Clashes, 15 chair shots, one of those Styles Clashes on a chair, kicked out. He powered out of the Accolade, which I think only John Cena had done. You know, what mid-carder is going to be able to realistically beat him?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem that they're going to have with Roman Reigns. But they're trying to build him back up, and they're trying to make him strong to go after the Universal title, probably, is my guess. The tag titles have, the New Day has been the champion now for over 400 days. Demolition, they were champions for 478 days. That means that we'd be looking at around TLC or Royal Rumble before New Day would potentially drop them if they decide to go that route. Andy, do you think that they're going to have New Day pass Demolition?
I think at this point you kind of have to. I mean, because they're close enough where you have well over 2.5 months? Or at least, So they're 78 days approximately away from getting it. So it wouldn't surprise me now at this point. So a month and a half, yeah, I think they can do it. You're close enough. Just do it.
Doug, who would you have take the titles off of New Day?
I said it before. I'll say it again. I would say the club should be the ones that do take it off of them. Because I don't see anybody else that really seems viable right now. What are you going to do? Throw the shining stars at him for a little bit, maybe just to extend the push or to have them carry the titles until Royal Rumble. You're looking at that, but maybe by then again, you've repackaged the club as the dominant team that they are and no longer doing the silly doctor gimmick.
also repackaged Ascension by that time too.
Yeah.
Well, they're on SmackDown, aren't they?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Roger, who would you have New Day take on next? Because obviously they've taken on the Club and they've, you know, faced each other multiple times now, so they got to move on to somebody else. Is this where you put the Shining Stars, or do you maybe make another tag team for them to take on?
Well, first off, I never want to see the Club and the New Day wrestle again. I've seen that match too much. It wasn't all that entertaining the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth time. I just don't think they mesh all that well. I think their Night of Champions match was probably their best match, but eh. I you know, some styles work very well and some styles don't. I don't want to see these two teams fight again. I would actually have New Day, you know, I would let them run through the Raw tag division as shallow as it is. Let them beat the Shining Stars. Let them beat whoever else is on the division. I would actually let the Usos from SmackDown be the one to end their reign. I would let the Usos hold both tag team titles. That would be a great way to legitimize them as the most dominant tag team by letting them, you know, have them a unification match at like Survivor Series or something like that. Let the tag teams go to SmackDown. And then when Alpha comes back and gets their shot, they can beat the undisputed tag team champions instead of this Raw SmackDown stuff. Because Raw's division is three teams. And Enzo and Cass don't even go for the titles. They just don't care. So for the most part, you can let New Day be the New Day on Raw without the titles and let the Usos build themselves up as the new dominant champions who keep breaking legs and stuff like that. I think that would be a much more entertaining way to go with his tag team titles than, I mean, I guess it has to be the Club, like Doug said. You don't have any other heels worth anything on Raw in the tag team division, and Enzo and Cass aren't winning matches. I mean, they lost, what, twice to the Shining Stars already? Owens and Jericho own them. I mean, New Day has to hold the titles for another 100 days, probably.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that they definitely will hold it for, I think they'll probably hit 500 and probably Royal Rumble. I think somebody had mentioned on here before bringing up the Revival potentially and putting them on Raw and having, if you want to put a team and you want to make them monster heels, having like the Revival defeat New Day for the titles would make them monster heels and people would hate them. And that would be how you properly bring up a tag team, as opposed to the Ascension, where we saw how you do not bring up a tag team.
I would let the Revival do it on day one. Like, I would let them walk into the place and have that as like their thing to say, like, we walked in and we knocked off the top guys, kind of like you walk into prison and punch the biggest guy. You said, hey, we're the big dogs in the yard. We are the tag team champions. We beat the best and make them look dominant.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Now, we also had a SmackDown pay-per-view, Clash of the Champions. We had AJ taking on Dean Ambrose. And I just want to say I was elated to see AJ walk out the WWE champion, and the way that they did it too. I thought that it was one of the smartest moves that WWE could have done. And Andy, it looks like you were pretty excited as well.
You're saying it was that Clash of Champions?
I said Backlash, didn't I?
You said Clash of Champions.
Well, I meant Backlash.
Backlash. Yes, AJ Styles became the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, no matter how, whatever they change it to. But yeah, when he won it, Aaron, I was pumped. That was one of the few things I was like, wow, they finally did it. And a guy who debuted at Royal Rumble basically 8 months ago is now a champion, a major champion too. So congratulations, AJ Styles. And he also did something weird too. He's had, you know, now he's had the TNA and also the WWE, which is a big deal.
Well, he's one of a very few people who one of three other people who's held the NWA and the WWE title. The other two being the Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers, and the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And I think he's one of the only ones for TNA and WWE. Kurt Angle, I know, being another one. I think Jeff Hardy as well. And then obviously IWGP. So, I mean, a lot of the things that he did, it's crazy. The fact that they gave him the title. And I don't think that it was, I don't think this is forcing somebody down our throats like with Roman Reigns, because this is somebody who has been established and he came in, he got the crowd reaction that he did, and the crowd has been behind him, for him or against him. So I'm okay with it. And I think storyline wise, it fits. But what is interesting, and Roger, I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on it, is that Cena came out the night after AJ won it and said, I want a title shot. And so now we're going to have a triple threat with AJ, Dean, and Cena. What do you think about Cena coming out and demanding a title shot?
I think it's the right move, for one, because I think the AJ Dean storyline, you want to kind of stretch that out a little bit longer. So inserting Cena into the mix gives them a little bit of freshness. Two, it actually allows Ambrose to start getting a more edgy character. Because my problem, and I've said this on multiple shows, is that he's been stale. His character has been boring. They've overdone this wackiness. You know, I love their match at Backlash because it was a Dean Ambrose match that was good. It wasn't the Jericho snooze fest. It wasn't the Ziggler garbage match at SummerSlam. AJ Styles, no surprise, carried somebody to a fantastic match. Not that Ambrose didn't do his part. And I think the triple threat will be interesting. I think Cena's going to eat the pinfall, and I think AJ is going to retain. And I think the promo between Ambrose and Cena was actually entertaining. You actually saw Ambrose starting to show a little bit more heel tendencies. I like the way that Cena called him out for being stale, not rising. Like, they've started to build a proper division on SmackDown, and I'm actually excited to see No Mercy because I want to see how it goes.
And Doug, how about you?
I agree with what Roger said and what everybody else has said. I think this will be a good thing for everybody to have John Cena come up and, you know, it adds a little bit new flavor for the match between him and Dean Ambrose. You have Dean kind of showing that heelish tendency. So is this going to be the complete turn to it? But you have, by giving the title to AJ Styles, you have the guy who, and I love how he says it, is he is now the face that runs the place on SmackDown. He is the guy that you can get behind. You can build a roster around an AJ Styles, pending John Cena needs to leave for whatever TV, movie, gig, or whatever he does. I like John Cena popping up every once in a while and being that huge draw because I do like John Cena matches, but I don't need him having the title the whole time. So throwing John Cena into this match is, I would say it's a added spice to the match, which will be needed. Dean Ambrose, hopefully, like I said, makes the full heel turn, and then having AJ, I would say, actually gets the pin over Ambrose. That way, he can kind of save face a little bit with John Cena.
All right. Yeah, I'm kind of curious how this one is going to go down. Actually, it's made No Mercy now a much more interesting pay-per-view for me. So I'm looking forward to it.
And speaking of No Mercy, Aaron, did you see who's sponsoring No Mercy, the pay-per-view?
Is it WWF No Mercy for the Nintendo 64?
No, it's
sponsored by AKI.
No, it's WWE 2K17. How ironic.
Yay.
Yeah, I know.
So, Andy, your girl, Becky Lynch, won the SmackDown Women's title. Was that the smart move?
I think in this case, yes, because she's going to have to be the face of the women's division there. I know you have Natty, you have Carmella, you know, Bliss, and one of the Bellas. They don't matter. But realistically, she's the one who's running that division. So I think to put the belt on her, it's great, because then you also have Alexa Bliss go after, and of course Becky Lynch is going to retain over Alexa, but they're making it look interesting at least so far.
All right, and then Doug, she's gonna be taking on your mistress Alexa Bliss for her first title defense. Do you give Bliss any sort of shot to take the title from her?
I'll give Alexa Bliss a shot, but I wouldn't give it a big shot.
10%.
Yeah. just on that off chance that something happens probably in the match and Becky is going to be out for, let's say, a long time, then they might give it to her, but that's about it.
All right. And then Roger, for you, were you happy to see Becky Lynch win?
Yeah, I mean, I was happy to not see Nikki Bella win. Like, truthfully, out of all six of the competitors in that match, I just did not want Nikki to win. That was anybody else, I was fine with a victory. I didn't really want Natty to win either, but I wouldn't have been all that mad. So seeing Nikki eliminated just made me like, oh, hallelujah. I knew Carmella wasn't going to win. And Becky deserved it, right? You know, she was the only of the horsewomen not to win the NXT title. So I'm glad she won the SmackDown Championship. I think 10% is probably even generous for Alexa. Like, barring some sort of torn meniscus for Becky and she's out, she's going to retain. And that's good. So, you know, I think Becky's going to run this division for, you know, probably till WrestleMania, I would say, is maybe when she first loses that championship, maybe to a Nikki Bella, unfortunately.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. And then the tag titles, Doug, you got this one right. You said that you thought that Rhino and Heath Slater were going to win it, which they did. And now they are going to be taking on the Usos, who they actually won the title from. But one of the things I really like that WWE did is that they had actually called out that the thing is, though, the Usos had another match prior that night. So this is going to be a fresh match, you know, with Usos versus these two. Andy, do you like the dynamic between Rhino and Heath Slater?
Yeah, because Rhino is just kind of there. He's not saying much. And Heath Slater is basically the mouthpiece, pretty much. And it kind of reminds me of Buff and Stuff, you know, back in WCW, you know, Buff Bagwell. He had the mouth, and that's kind of what Heath Slater is. And then the Stuff, of course, was
Scott Norton.
Yes. So, yeah. And that's what I thought. I'm actually really happy, though, for Heath Slater that he won the title, because he was able to get his above ground pool. So I was really, really happy for him.
And Roger, for you, it sounds like you kind of like the direction the Usos are going. Do you like them as these types of heels?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think this is the heel turn that a lot of us want Roman Reigns to take. This a more vicious. It feels very real. Their explanation was that the fans immediately cheered for the new big thing when American Alpha came up and they felt disrespected and left behind. So there was more of a realism to why they were angry. And then also I like the viciousness, right? They're taking out knees. They're not just a team who is turned heel and they get beat up all the time. They took out Gable. They took out Zack Ryder on SmackDown. Like, this is a team to be reckoned with now. And if they win the titles, man, they're going to be a dangerous team. Like, they remind me not of a better version of the Revival, because I think the Revival does it better, but a similar path, right, where they are now a threat to injure, and not just beat you, but take you out and put you on the shelf. It makes their matches interesting.
And, Doug, what do you think about American Alpha? They were taken out of the picture, but they're kind of in waiting right now. When do you think American Alpha wins the SmackDown tag titles?
See, that's why I think, I agreed with you guys when the fact that I don't think Rhino and Slater are your best first tag team champions. But I think storyline wise, and that's why I kind of went with them in the predictions, it just made sense. And I could see the Usos taking it back from them at the next pay-per-view. Then you have one more pay-per-view, I think, before Survivor Series.
Yes, Hell in a Cell.
Right.
Is that Raw exclusive?
That one is Raw exclusive.
Okay, so, but does SmackDown have one?
I think SmackDown only has the one, which is No Mercy, I believe.
Okay. That's correct.
So then you have that, and then you have Survivor Series, which I could see the tag teams being kind of a Survivor Series match. And you throw in maybe, you know, if you do two tag teams, you put Slater and Rhino and American Alpha versus the Usos and another team. Maybe that's when you bring up the Revival or something along those lines. And then you have maybe American Alpha take it at a bigger pay-per-view like the Royal Rumble or something. But you'll have those extensions where Usos can hold on to it for a little bit, little bit, little bit. And then you have the big main match where they finally win it at like a Rumble.
Do you think they cooled American Alpha down a little bit with the injury?
No, I don't think that they'd. I think that you know having Becky Lynch and American Alpha both win the winning the respective titles, that might have been a little too predictable, and they want to make American Alpha work for it. I would have expected the Usos to win. I mean, I think when we were talking and predicting, I think I said the Usos because it would make sense. You know, you have a team that is worthwhile of winning those titles. But then again, you know, the Raw tag titles were first won by Benoit and Angle. So it's not uncommon to have redacted. And so
he who shall not be named.
It's not uncommon to have something like that happen, you know, to have a team thrown together. And I thought that they did a very good job with building Heath Slater up. They actually made him a good character that they had not done since he was with the Nexus. And even then, I mean, that's arguable. I mean, even then he probably wasn't that good. So no, I don't think that they've cooled American Alpha necessarily. I think that they're preparing them for a big win, maybe WrestleMania, you know, maybe Royal Rumble, who knows. We'll see. But Andy, let me ask you your thoughts on the brand exclusive pay-per-views so far. We had Clash of Champions and Backlash. First things first, which one did you like more? And do you think that it's been successful so far?
I like Backlash better than Clash of Champions. I mean, the Clash of Champions had, you know, the cruiserweight match, but that was the thing that I thought was really good about it. Other than that, I really didn't care for the show. I for some reason, I just like the SmackDown pay-per-view better. And I think it has to do a lot with calling. But the matches themselves, I thought were really, really solid. Plus, it also felt like it was how long a pay-per-view should be at this point, where it's under, you know, it can be 2.5 hours or 2 hours or 45 minutes and you're okay. It opposed to the Raw one that lasted 3 hours. I only have so much time in the day. But overall, I think SmackDown's been doing the better job, and I think that their brand exclusive show pay-per-view was way better. Doug, what are your thoughts?
I like Backlash a little bit better just because of also the fact that you had the first time you have your SmackDown Women's Champion. So you have your first tag team champions for SmackDown. And then just to top off what was a great night of, like, I think only 5 matches, was AJ walking away with the title. And I really do think that it has to be that main event, has to be the one that outshines. It has to be the match of the night. It has to be the one everybody goes home remembering is your main event. And when you go off on such a great note like that, it makes you feel better about the pay-per-view overall. Whereas we all kind of agreed with Raw, Clash of Champions, the ending was a Raw ending. So, you know, it kind of left that little bit sour, even though the match was good. The ending was just like, oh, okay, this is something they do on Raw. So it felt like a Raw.
And Roger, what did you think?
I don't even think it was close. Backlash to me felt like a culmination of kind of the brand extension for SmackDown. Like, this is what they'd been building to since the moment they split off from Raw. You know, every match had a storyline, whether it was the new titles or it was the rivalry between Bray and Orton, even though we didn't get to see that match because of the concussion. You know, there was a story and there was a meaning behind these matches. And it was the right amount of length. I think it was 2.5 hours. Like, I wasn't bored watching it, whereas like Clash of Champions, half those matches had no story. I mean, the Cruiserweight match, right? It was underwhelming considering the awesome matches that we saw in the Cruiserweight Classic. TJ versus Kendrick was fine, but it wasn't amazing. Cesaro versus Sheamus was like the most disappointing ending I've ever seen to a 7-game series. That would have been like watching the Cavs and Warriors go to a tie, and instead of they restarted, they're like, oh, no more overtime, we're just done. Like, Jericho Sammy had no storyline. The triple threat from the women was probably a solid match, but I couldn't really get into it because it feels rushed. It didn't feel like they really built that triple threat up well enough. It was like Bayley gets in off of fluke. Like, she didn't look like she belonged to be there. So, you know, I remember when Raw, I thought the first 2 weeks had killed SmackDown. And since pretty much the Triple H turn on Rollins, Raw has sucked. Like, it has been borderline unwatchable, in my opinion. Whereas every week, SmackDown is slowly but surely building interesting stories and characters. I don't feel like the authority figures get in the way. Like, I think SmackDown's destroying Raw, and I think it's going to stay that way for a while.
Yeah, I totally agree, too. And I think that, Clash of Champions was it was another Raw, you know, and I don't want to see Raw 2 nights in a row. And I think it really talks about how having a 2-hour show, and then, you know, that is a weekly show that you do, but then you have a 3-hour pay-per-view, which is a meaningful thing, makes it a little bit better. But I also am feeling a little almost wrestling overload in a way. When you have a pay-per-view every 2 weeks, it kind of diminishes the value of a pay-per-view. And yes, it is 2 separate brands, which is nice. But it, you know, the matches that we're seeing, I watched both of them on a tape delay, basically. And I was able to fast forward through a lot of it. And I didn't have to see all the matches. You know, you have like Nia Jax versus, Alicia Fox. And it was like, yeah, I don't have to see that. That's great. All right. I can fast forward through that. Or this match is one I've seen a bunch of times, this Cesaro Sheamus, which had some really great spots. But I fast forward through a lot of that because it was something I've seen 7 other times, actually more than that, you know. So it was unnecessary. But I think that that's kind of the issue that WWE is going to be facing, that they're going to get a little bit of wrestling fatigue. And I think I really feel, and I know they won't. I understand why they won't do it. But I really feel Raw needs to go back to 2 hours, and they really need to do a better job of making that a tighter knit show and not have all of those segments that run over and over and over again and have rematches that we've seen a bunch of times. This is supposed, it's new era, same old crap, you know, and we need to have, you know, these new feuds that are coming from that. And I don't think that we are. So rant over.
So let me ask you guys one thing. And this is one of the things that I've looked at SmackDown, and I think this is why, I don't know if this is for true for you guys, but for me, it's true. When I look at all the SmackDown divisions, they're very clearly defined and they're deep. Each division has about six at least contenders for every championship, whether it's Intercontinental, Tag Team, Women's, or even the Heavyweight. Over on Raw, I see sometimes two or three competitors at most for each championship. Like, I don't know any division, with the exception of maybe the Cruiserweights, right? Because they just imported a bunch from the Cruiserweight Classic. All of those divisions are shallow. Like, who's next in line behind Seth Rollins to challenge Kevin Owens? Sammy? Is that where we're going? Sami Zayn next?
I don't think they can do that yet, but yeah, that's a good point.
But who else do you have? Let's say Seth Rollins gets defeated cleanly. Who's the next in line?
Who is the next face?
No,
but Reigns is the U.S. champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now think about SmackDown. If let's say that Styles retains, you've got Baron Corbin, you've got Dolph Ziggler, you've got guys who've been in the mix. You've got Kane, you've got Randy Orton, you've got Bray Wyatt. You have guys up and down the list who can challenge, who have gone between mid card and upper card. I don't know what in the world's going on with Raw. Like, I don't even know who the number two babyface on Raw is right now. And for a 3-hour show, that's really bad.
And that's why I think they should trade the women for the Cruiserweights and then put it on SmackDown. And then what will happen is that SmackDown will go from 2 hours to 3 hours after WrestleMania.
Well, and that would be a terrible idea. I think that SmackDown is doing a much better job at 2 hours. And I actually like watching SmackDown. I would say that I spend more time watching SmackDown than I do Raw.
Watch SmackDown, unlike Raw. Like, I watch the Hulu version of Raw, and it's only an hour and a half. And half the time, I'm like, can this be done?
Constantly on fast forwarding. But yeah, but anyways, let's go ahead and thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free set of hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 6's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to see big on items from WWEshop.com. Roger, what are your thoughts on the Cruiserweight Classic?
That was amazing. I mean, it exceeded my expectations. My expectations for the CWC were pretty high because I was like, oh, we're going to get, you know, WCW era cruiserweights from the mid 90s. And this was awesome. Like, I still say that Alexander Ibushi was probably the second best match of the year that I've seen. Like, it was fantastic. And Kota Ibushi is the MVP of that tournament. He had three phenomenal matches. And there were so many different styles and the commentating. I say this all the time about how I really hate some of the commentators on Raw and SmackDown. Otunga and Saxton are terrible. JBL's style is outdated. But man, listening to Daniel Bryan and Mauro Ranallo talk about wrestling was like such a breath of fresh air that I'm legitimately sad that on Wednesdays there's no more CWC. Like, it's slightly depressing because those matches were entertaining to watch, and without a great story behind them, they were still entertaining. Like, it worries me though, because I think what we saw in the CWC is not going to be indicative of what we see on Raw. Like, the two Cruiserweight matches I've seen haven't been well responded to by the crowd, whereas that Full Sail crowd was into those Cruiserweight matches. Like, they really were hyped. And, you know, I think did I hear CM Punk chant when Perkins did something? And it wasn't like he did the go to sleep to the kick. Like, they were just bored. They chanted Randy Savage. You know, they need to inject some characters that they already love. Probably Neville needs to make a quick return, and maybe they need to get somebody to get the crowd interested, because right now it's just two guys wrestling that the crowd doesn't care about. And it's a shame because Tony Nese and TJ Perkins are both phenomenal wrestlers, but the Raw crowd just didn't care. Like, they were sitting on their hands and they were bored.
Yeah, and they actually did try to, you know, make Brian Kendrick and TJ Perkins, when they had their backstage segment, I was actually interested, and I thought it was a smart move for Raw to do, so that way people said, oh, this is why I should care. But when you have CM Punk chance, you know, at people who are actually putting on a good match, it's not like it's Rusev, you know, going against somebody for the millionth time. This is actually an exciting match, and it's a new match. And I was a little disappointed in the crowd for doing that, honestly. You know, I really was. I think that was a bad move. And you're not even in Chicago. You know, you're in Cincinnati, of all places, or Cleveland, or wherever. You know, there's no need for CM Punk chance. But, you know, Roger, I agree with you. I think that CWC was really good, and it was well received by that Full Sail crowd. I think that the final four people, you know, I thought that they did a fantastic job. The only one that I felt was a little out of place was a Graham Matalik, right? Is how you say his name. He was the only one was a little out of place, and not in a bad way necessarily. But we all expected to have a Bushi versus Zack Sabre Jr., and that didn't happen. But TJ Perkins was a very worthy person to win that tournament, and I think that he has done a fairly good job thus far.
I loved the CWC. It was wonderful matches, some of the best matches that we've seen all year round from any talent. I am very shocked to see TJ Perkins win, just because he is a TNA made person. I think I kind of feel that way with him being Suicide and then Manic after that. And then I do believe he even had a little bit of a run as TJP there at the very end when Hogan got him to unmask or whatever. So I was a little surprised to see that he won, but at the same time, nobody knows who he is, I don't think, or at least not enough people know who he is. Whereas I think there are still way more Japan fans than there are TNA fans. You know, whether or not they give him, you know, whether it was a contract thing where you had to have somebody, obviously, I don't know if they've got Ibushi under contract or not, but, or Zack Sabre Jr., because they haven't mentioned them, I don't think, at all.
Neither one would sign. That was a lot of people speculated that had Ibushi signed, right, he would have been given the CWC, and then had Sabre Jr. signed, he would have been given the CWC, but both of them had either dates with their current companies or a lot of independent dates, so then TJP was kind of the next man up.
See. So, but I don't think they've been as the matches haven't even been as explosive as they've been in the tournament. There was a lot of moves that were done, even in the short amount of time that some of them got was, I mean, there was the time limits that were there. You know, and they never really pushed the issue of a time limit, I don't think, in the CWC. That was one of them. I kind of wish I would have seen that push, like you have the countdown where somebody gets the three count right before it ends. But the tournament overall, with not really having a storyline background, was phenomenal. But now they're on Raw, which is supposed to be the show, I think they would be better off on SmackDown, where it's all about the wrestling.
That, or if they actually just gave them their own show, just said, hey, even if they said we're only gonna run a 30-minute show on Wednesdays, I think people would be okay with that.
Well, I think they should have started off on NXT, because a lot of those guys are still in NXT and they're not going to get the move up to Raw. Like Rich Swann, you know, he's still an NXT person. You still have a lot of those people fighting. If they would have made this an NXT title, built up the division in NXT, let people see maybe a year round, but then bringing up at WrestleMania or somewhere along those lines, and then make it a title for one of the shows. But just to quickly bring it back to Raw, and you know, I don't know how many people watched the tournament. I enjoyed it thoroughly, but it doesn't look like it's got a long life to live without any backing from anybody there on Raw.
Yeah, I think that they definitely need to have, you know, as Roger had mentioned, you know, you need to bring some of the mainstays and you need to make that worthwhile. In WCW, one of the things that really worked well is that you had Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Rey Mysterio, and then you had Chris Jericho come in, and then you had Juventud Guerrero and a few other people, Ultimo Dragon, that just came in and really made it a not only a worthwhile title, but it was a title that got passed around. And I remember that there's a point in time it got passed between like Guerrero and Mysterio and Ultimo Dragon like three times in a month or something like that. Like it got passed around, and it was fine though, because that made that title exciting. You know, it was kind of like a TV title in a way, but you had lengthy reigns, but you also had short ones, and it was okay to do that. And I hope that WWE looks at what WCW did, because yes, WCW may not be around anymore, but they did have some good ideas and they did some good things. And so you look at that blueprint, you make it a little bit better, and you continue on with that. So that's what I hope that they do. The CWC was a success. I hope that they do it in the future. And, you know, the winner gets a title shot, maybe make it only 32 people or 16 or something like that. But you shrink it down and you make it a worthwhile endeavor, for some of those people.
I think there is a fundamental problem, though, with the way they've kind of structured this, in that we all got used to, and it made sense, Daniel Bryan. You know, he was a smaller guy who broke through to the top, and Mauro Ranallo calling this. So those two are experts and they're very knowledgeable. Mauro has Japanese experience. He's very knowledgeable at Lucha Libre. So they told the backstory of these moves and who they trained with. Well, you move them to Raw. Michael Cole doesn't know a thing. Like, there's so much dead air. You can tell that he's trying to read from a script or trying to figure out what's going on. I mean, he barely knows the moves. Byron Saxton is a walking tool. Like, that guy, every time he speaks, it makes my ears cringe. And Corey Graves is doing a good job, but he's a lonely dude on an island, because this, you know, you needed the SmackDown announcers. Even Foley said it on Twitter. And the other problem I really think is happening is that TJ Perkins is corny. I don't say that in a bad way, in the sense that he's a bad wrestler, but his little inspirational story would have worked in the 1980s with the Hogan running wild. But his character, I think, is at its best when he's dabbing and being kind of to be quite honest, and being the guy who just says, I'm better than everyone else. So he needs to be a heel, because him trying to be a face and them ramming it down our throats about, oh, he was homeless at one point in time. I just don't think there's enough, you know, a hatred or heel action, or, you know, let him walk up to a guy like Neville and says, I'm already better than you, and slap him across the face. Let him walk up to a guy like the Kalisto and say, I'm a better representation for Latinos than you are, though Kalisto's on SmackDown, so that when someone actually finally knocks him off, it's actually a big moment. Whereas right now, if Kendrick beat him, it'd be kind of like, that's cool. I like Kendrick, but it wouldn't be a big deal. Whereas, you know, like Aaron said, when Rey Mysterio beat Dean Malenko, that was a big deal. That was, Dean Malenko lost, or Eddie Guerrero, or, you know, He Who Shall Not Be Named, or, you know, they were loaded with cruiserweights. They need to load this division up, and they need to start bringing some characters quickly, because right now that division looks like it's going to flop within a month.
I agree. I think unless they put some, allow them to do a lot of the stuff that they were doing in the tournament onto Raw, and you got to put in those key matches, you know, Cedric Alexander's match. You got to build up the division. Having the Neville come back would be great. But they've got to build up the characters. They got to do it fast. They got to get the fans interested. I think allowing them to do the moves that they did in the CWC and not overdo them like you often see in Raw matches and we've seen before. It's got to be fresh. It's got to be new. It's got to be them flying around and doing everything that WWE doesn't like to do anymore. So hopefully they let them run loose. They let them just do their thing and get the talent in there, get the NXT people up in there, and just let the division grow.
And Aaron, is there anything better to hear from the announcers just when someone yells basement dropkick? For some reason, I just find that like awesome. Like, oh, I never thought about it that way. And it was like, and then, you know, Cole's going to try and say that at some point, and you know, he's going to screw it up. The styles clash, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's just nice to hear moves being called in CWC, and it goes to show that maybe it would do better on SmackDown, or as Doug had mentioned, you know, NXT, that might not be a bad place for it to be. But I really hope that WWE puts forth a strong effort to make the cruiserweights relevant and to make that championship something very special.
Also, I want to point out something that I don't know if you guys noticed, but I think they actually use different ring ropes when the cruiserweights are in. It looks like a cable system opposed to the rope system. So the only reason I even noticed it is because the tape didn't look right on it. But anyways, but yeah, so overall, it's been a jam-packed month filled with tons of things going on. So I think we're all in agreement. CWC, we wish it was actually a little bit longer to a certain extent, or if they had like two seasons of it. So we knew that every, I don't know, we'll say April and October, we knew that there's going to be a CWC tournament. It would be really cool, but until then, we'll just have to wait and see. And Aaron, so if there's any breaking news with the TNA sale, are we going to have to put something out?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whenever if TNA is sold to WWE in particular, we will have a special about that. That following week, when all the news comes out, we'll give our in-depth analysis and we'll let you know what we think and what it could mean for wrestling in the future.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Roger Cave, and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.